it's expensive to enter the value-add sector because you're looking at, of course, capital expenditure, and that's actually been a barrier, a difficulty. But certainly in today's marketplace, exporting just the raw material I don't think is good enough. It's certainly not a very profitable way to be a price taker all the time. We've got to be price makers, and we're too exposed to global fluctuations, including currencies, if we're just exporting on a commodity basis. So it's necessary that we actually add value and therefore actually get brand Australia, not only in Australia but also overseas, much more recognised.
Most people, like myself, if I go down the supermarket and looking for canned tomatoes, we're talking canned tomatoes or sauces, you know, there'd be cheaper stuff coming in from Italy probably. There are home brands around, so what are the opportunities then, do you think?
I think there's a lot of opportunity, particularly if you can get your cost structure right in Australia. And as I said earlier, it's a little bit about scale. I think there's a lot of IT infrastructure that we can benefit from in Australia, which other countries don't have. But as well as that, I think the government has moved as well against dumping and illegal activities by some of the exporters out of other countries that have placed products here at costs and at prices that are unreasonable or at least below even production levels.
So your company's been struggling with that too?
We haven't directly, but our customers have. Up till recently, we've been supplying product into the food manufacturers of Australia, and their end product has actually suffered a lot from that perspective when it goes to the supermarket.
So what can you see being done differently? What would, you know, in terms of your talk today, for example, what would you be talking about?
I think we need a little bit more leadership. I think there are three issues, as far as I'm concerned, in agribusiness that we could benefit from our political leaders taking some bold initiatives. I think one is around water. We're still paying today $220, $230 a megaliter. Secondly, I think there's an issue around energy. If you're going to process food that's grown in the countryside, you need to process near the countryside or near the field. And so therefore, there's an issue around energy costs. And therefore, if that's supported, you'll have a lot more jobs, you'll have a lot more development in the regions, because we can't drive our product all the way to the cities and then benefit from city prices and city locations for drawing labor, for example. And thirdly, I think logistics is a major issue for agribusiness. Logistics, in terms of everything we produce today, has to go on the road. And even between our states, we don't have consistency with regard to regulations, for example, on heavy vehicles. But it's a shame not to see more agribusiness on the rail and putting more freight on rail. It's about how do you get the freight on the track and how do you get it off. That's where all the cost is. Actually, moving it down the track is relatively cheap. But it's the stations that are allowed to take the freight onto the rail and take that off at port or at major cities. That's where the issue is.
So, well, that's a bag full of tricks there, isn't it? I mean, the government has created a water market, so you're just paying the price that the market decides. Not much that can be done about that, really, is there?
I think there's a lot. Actually, there are a lot of water markets, so there's actually not really much transparency for the person trying to buy or sell water. You and I could set up a water market and put it on the internet and have a session where people can come and draw and buy and sell. So I think there needs to be more unity and more transparency around the water market. Secondly, there are environmental water holders who have access to great levels of water where their environmental targets may be met by water falling from the sky, and it's not clear what then they have to do with the water that they don't use or don't need to hit their environmental targets. I think we have to have a medium strip, someplace where the environment also, its targets are met, while at the same time we achieve our targets around growing food, not only for ourselves, but also for countries nearby.
What about the energy side? What energy is your company reliant on?
Primarily natural gas. We're evaporating water out of the tomatoes and out of other fruit like carrots and beetroot. We're a big user of gas. In northern Victoria, we'd be the largest user in February, March each year.
And so what's the problem there? Is it a problem with the gas supply? I mean, the price obviously is going up because of what's being driven on the export market there.
That's right. We're paying the export market price. That's precisely the issue. Whereas in places like California, which is our largest global competitor, there are local providers of gas who are allowed to provide gas to local companies, which is priced completely differently than the gas that's exported.
So are you asking the government to support local production of gas, or are you asking for a gas reservation scheme or some intervention in the price?
I think we need a better conversation around gas exploration in the States. Both New South Wales and Victoria are growing in population, and so there's going to have to be a conversation, a discussion that takes place sometime soon, which will also alleviate the price, I believe, for processors in regional areas.